We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. Yeah,
the Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm the effing president. Take me up to the Capitol now.
This was all about political. It's all about getting at President Trump.
We can't tell you there's a silver bullet.
Resentment, grievance, anger.
You know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away.
This testimony is, first of all, stunning, because we haven't heard this.
I'm kind of an ordinary guy who's just trying to get along like everybody else.
When I saw the drone, I was really scared.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those drones, apparently. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We're glad you're with us. It is a Wednesday. We're live on Facebook this morning. We got you up on the app, on the Odyssey app, which is an easy way to take us wherever you're going, 971talk.com. However you got here, we appreciate it. Remember the podcast. You can download each hour and listen later. If for some reason you're a slacker and you're not up at 5 a.m., I don't know why. I thought everybody was. But anyway, regardless, we're glad you're here. Illinois election yesterday was huge. Mary Miller, the winner in that congressional seat. Darren Bailey, the winner in the governor's race for the Republican side. A shout out and congratulations to, although she came in second, to Peggy Hubbard, who we've had on this show many times. She put her name in the hat for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate over in Illinois. And while she came in second, she put up a hell of a fight. Kathy Salvey won with about 208,000 votes, 30%. Peggy Hubbard came in a very close second, only 5 points behind at 25%. And the next closest person was at 13%. So Peggy put up a great fight, and she was fighting the headwinds in that, too. And I really, you got to admire somebody who's willing to stick their neck out like that. Congratulations to her, in fact. On the Republican side here in Missouri, guess what happened this morning? Guy named John Wood has announced he is running as an independent in the state of Missouri for the Senate race. This is a guy who is an attorney for the J6 Select Committee, selected by Nancy Pelosi committee, up until about a week ago. And he quit that to run as an independent for the United States Senate in Missouri. Are you baffled by that like I am? I mean, if you are a Republican and you truly had the best interest of Republicans in mind and you wanted a Republican to maintain the seat in Missouri, why not run as a Republican in the primary? So 4 weeks before the primary, he suddenly announced that his hair's on fire and he's got to run as an independent to avoid the competition in the primary because he's upset with who he thinks might win the primary, to which he's had no involvement to this point because he's been in D.C. working on the January 6th committee. So instead, he's going to run as an independent, but a Republican in the general election in November in Missouri. And John Danforth, not surprisingly, is backing him because he's already decided he's not going to support whoever is going to come out of the Republican primary. What an upside-down world we have. Why would you try to divide the vote in November and potentially hand that Senate seat to Trudy Bush Valentine, who's the likely winner on the Democrat side. Primarily, like, I don't know Lucas Kuntz, but she certainly got the most money. She's a Bush and then a Valentine. So she's a Bush Valentine. She's got the Anheuser-Busch cash, and she's probably going to dominate that race, odds are. but anyway, it just, to me, it's counterintuitive as to why you would want to give her a better chance by dividing the Republican. You must truly hate conservatives if that's your plan in the general election. So that's what's going on in the election side of things this morning. Here's something else you might have missed. In the city of St. Louis yesterday, they passed a board bill called Board Bill Number 61, written by Annie Rice, supported by Christine Ingrazia, Megan Green, Ann Schweitzer, Shamin Clark Hubbard, Tina Pill, P-I-H-L, don't know her. And this is a bill that has now apparently ready for a full board vote. And you talk about some twisted logic. This is a bill that would take COVID relief funds. First of all, it brags about the fact that the city got $249,038,027 from the Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund under ARPA. They're bragging about how much money they got from the federal government. And then they go about proving that, trying to somehow justify spending that money on vouchers to allow people to, women, to travel to other states to get abortion services. I hate to be Mr. Obvious here, but what in the hell do COVID relief funds have to do with abortion? And by the way, in case you're not paying attention, St. Louis County is going down the same track of trying to make public funds available for St. Louis County women to travel out of state to get an abortion. So thank you to the listener that pointed this out to me this morning. If this had passed, I've got a copy of it here in my hands. Where it, you know, it points out that this allows them to, they want to transfer $1 million to the St. Louis Department of Health to be given out in grants as part of their reproductive equity fund that they're going to create. And they will fund or will not be used to fund or assist abortion procedures, but will be used to provide access to abortion through logistical support, including but not limited to the funding of child care, transportation, and other logistical support needs. That's where your federal tax dollars are going in money made available to the city of St. Louis. It is absolutely outrageous. Let's get to our guests, please.
Stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood on the phone with us this morning, a senior advisor with the Heritage Foundation, joins us every Wednesday. Genevieve, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. I was doing better before I listened to what you were just talking about there, though.
Isn't that amazing?
Insane.
You know, obviously, they thought that through. They're very clear that they're not using it to pay for the abortion, but they are going to use COVID relief money to give people travel vouchers and to provide daycare for their other children that they decided did have the right to live while they travel out of state to abort the current child that they're carrying.
Just another perfect example of the government taking your money, deciding they know how better to spend it, and not caring if they violate your beliefs, whether they're religious beliefs, moral beliefs, or just how you think your money ought to be spent as a taxpayer. They know better. And by the way, as you just pointed out, they took it for one purpose and said they're going to use it this way. And now they're like, no, we didn't use it that way, so now we're going to use it this way. And we're not going to ask your permission if it's okay to change it, repurpose the funds. We're just going to do it. Where else is that allowed?
It's a good point. And I know that they're saying they're not spending it on abortion, but why isn't somebody standing up and saying, this has nothing to do with COVID relief? This isn't why you were given the money. If you really want to spend $1 million on this, find it from somewhere else in your budget.
Find it from somewhere else. Give us our money back. And then if you don't have the money, ask the taxpayers to do it. And they can vote as to whether they want to do that or not. That was the whole point of Roe v. Wade, to give the decision back to the states about how they wanted to treat the issue of abortion. So if the citizens of Missouri want to put a fund together to pay for women to go to other places or just to travel within the state to have abortion, the citizens can vote for that. But my guess is they won't vote for that. State legislators know it. The federal government knows it. So they don't ask you. They don't give you the opportunity to make your voice and to have a chance about how these funds are spent.
Well, it's not the it is one of the crazy things that happened yesterday. It may not be the craziest. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez spoke out yesterday. I think she was on Colbert. She's making the rounds right now. And as long as she keeps talking, we keep winning. Let's go to cut 16, please.
I'll start with the babiest of the babiest of the baby steps. Open abortion clinics on federal land in red states right now. Right now. Right now.
So apparently she wants to set up a slaughterhouse down the road here at the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. It's a federal park. We could just put a big emergency white tent in the middle of it and people could start lining up. And once they cross into the federal park, they wouldn't be any longer controlled, I guess, by Missouri's trigger law.
Insanity just begets more insanity. And it's gone on for a long time. But last week when the decision came down, you just saw people like AOC and Maxine Waters just coming out of the woodwork and saying insane things. I mean, you know, like Maxine Waters, to heck with the Constitution, you know, I mean, just these ridiculous statements. And the reality is, Mark, they're insane because they know that as long as Roe was on the books, as long as Roe could be the law of the land, they could be insane, and they didn't have to get Americans to agree with them and to go along with it. But now that that's no longer the law of the land, oh, goodness, they're going to have to get out and do some work. They're going to actually have to go out and convince people that abortion on demand up until the moment of birth is a good idea, because that's what Roe said. Even if some states had curtailed it, that's what it said. And they know they can't convince most people to do that, so they're crazy right now.
I
don't think the crazy is going to go away tomorrow.
No, it's not going to go away tomorrow. Even Hillary Clinton, I said this earlier, I'm trying to figure out what her game is. She says she can't imagine running again, but as Gayle King pointed out, that's different from saying no. Because she was out commenting yesterday on, of course, the Dobbs decision. She insulted Clarence Thomas by claiming that he's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Play cut number 12, please, Frank.
To law school with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Resentment, grievance, anger.
You know, I don't quite know what to
know.
She ought to know.
She should know.
Thank you. I mean, I was just thinking about that.
You put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
Yeah.
The great story here for anybody willing to find it and write about it and explain it is this vast right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah. So I got
against
plenty.
My husband. Remember, she said against my husband.
I got plenty of drops like that about a woman who's had grievances for pretty much as long as she's been in the public eye. But now she's focusing her ire on Clarence Thomas, who didn't even write the decision in the Dobbs case. Justice Alito did.
Right. Well, I mean, that is just rich right there. I got to say, Mark, that's one of the better things I've heard this morning. Yeah. Again, we're expecting them to make sense. You can't make sense.
No.
She can't make sense of the decision and explain why it was wrong. So let's just attack the judges who voted in favor of it. Right. Let's just attack the majority, because you can't constitutionally go after what they did. Because the reality is they've been hiding the ball on the Constitution for the past 50 years. There's never been a right to abortion in the Constitution. They knew that. Even the people arguing the cases last time around, they knew it. And that's why when, you know, Justice Roberts came out, the Chief Justice, saying, well, can we kind of have it both ways? Both sides said, no, it's either there or it's not. You can't have it both ways. And they've been trying to have it both ways and have it their way for 50 years, and the game's over.
You've got great coverage this morning in the Daily Signal about some of the vandalism, the threats of violence that have broken out around the country as a result of this. I've got a montage of people basically calling for insurrection and burning down the Supreme Court and all the crazies on the left who didn't get what they wanted when this Roe case was reversed. But, you know, where's the Justice Department here? When you've got groups like Jane's Revenge issuing press releases telling you what they're about to do, why does the Justice Department not step into those situations and start questioning them and or making preemptive arrests in this particular case, like they did against parents who dared to stand up to their school board?
Right. Well, I mean, I think you know this, Mark, and your listeners know this is, you know, the great irony of this whole situation. And you go back to all the riots we've had and protests for the past 2 to 3 years. Sometimes they're riots and other times they're just protests. You know, sometimes turning over cars and lighting them on fire and throwing paint on buildings and setting, you know, buildings afire, that's okay. Other times, that's a real riot, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It depends on, you know, what you want it to be that week. And the reality is just the Justice Department picks and chooses what it wants to call a protest, what it wants to call freedom of speech, and what it wants to call a riot. And apparently that's the way Congress, what they're investigating. They only investigate certain things that they think are riots. So they're picking and choosing, and I think this is all going to lead into 2022. They want to motivate their base. They don't want to tamp it down. So they don't want to say, don't go do any of this. I mean, President Biden said, you know, be peaceful. But he's the only one who's even said anything close to that. Everybody else has been saying, take to the streets. And, you know, that's what they want folks to do, because I think they're worried about the midterms. Very worried.
Well, and I think they should be. And I'd love to get your thoughts on that. I listened at length to, of course, CNN and Jeffrey Toobin and Don Lemon and some of the others over there claiming that this is going to motivate the base in November. Do you buy that?
I think it's going to motivate part of their base, but I think that part of their base is likely already motivated. I think the question is, does it motivate the people that they need to switch over and come their way? And I don't think that it does that, especially if you start burning things down and you start attacking, you know, crisis pregnancy centers and, you know, in local communities across the country. I don't think that helps you. I don't think most Americans, including many of the quote-unquote suburban women who helped Joe Biden out in the last election, I don't think they want that going on in their neighborhoods. And at the end of the day, I think a lot more people are more concerned about what they're paying at the pump when they go every single day, and they're more concerned about crime. They're more concerned about the border and seeing what they saw yesterday in San Antonio. They're more concerned about those things than I think they are this abortion on demand. You know, and again, this is going to be really important, I think, for conservatives to point out.
Yeah.
The right to abortion, in my view, unfortunately, isn't gone. The reality is that will be a state-by-state decision. So people will have the chance to have their voice heard on this.
Genevieve Wood, thank you as always. We appreciate you. Heritage.org is the website. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, coming up, Senator Josh Hawley will join us. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.